Morning, church. Welcome those of you who are worshiping online. Welcome everybody out on the patio. Hey, did you see those guys moving on stage here right before that? They were hustling. I am so excited to be here with you this morning, and here's why. We're breaking the seal on a brand new series. It's a five-week series. It's a vision series, and it's called Build Your Church. It's a couple different things. It's a prayer to God. God, build your church. Build it from the ground up. Fulfill, Jesus, fulfill your promise to yourself, really. He says in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? So we're saying, Lord, build your church. But also, it's kind of a rallying cry among ourselves. Like, build your church. We just sang that song, build your church. Here's where we're going. This morning, this is another vision where we're going to talk about our team and our strategy and our structure for our For the Valley movement. That's week one. Next week, I'm preaching a message on our entire vision as a church, our reach vision. I'm going to recast that vision for us next week and invite you into that. The week after that, we're going to talk about one of our values, and that is following Jesus. We're going to show you our discipleship path and invite you into that. The weekend after that, that's week four in this, is Serve Day weekend. That's October 9th and 10th. That's probably the best thing that we do as a church. We actually don't have worship services. We have 2,000 volunteers that go out into our community and serve people in the name of Jesus. And you're all going to be a part of that, right? I'm sorry, I'm going to say that again. You're all going to be a part of that, right? Yes, you're absolutely going to be a part of that. And the last week in this series is a message titled For Our World. We're going to look at our local and global missions emphasis here and invite you into that as well. So 3 years ago, just about, we launched a movement here at CPC, and it's called, do you remember what it's called? It's called For the what? For the Valley. Yeah, the entire movement was based on this word right here. For. Same one on my sweatshirts that you see all over the place. It's based on that word for. Why is that word so powerful? Like, why is for so powerful? We believe it's because everybody knows when someone is for them. You know when someone is for you. You know when a parent is for you. You know when a teacher is for you. You know when a boss is for you, when a friend is for you. You also know when you want someone to be for you and they're really not. And I think you even know as kids, I think God made us this way. As kids, we know when that parent, that coach, that neighbor is for us. Let me tell you an example of that. A few years ago, we live in a neighborhood where we're really good friends with our neighbors, our across-the-street neighbors, our neighbors to the right and left. And our across-the-street neighbors, we moved into our house about 15 years ago. And our across-the-street neighbors have a daughter and a son, and the son is the same age as our middle son, Owen. And so we kind of adopted him figuratively as like a fourth Scott boy many, many years ago. We hung out with him, and a few years ago, I was coaching soccer like I did for many years, and I drafted him, his name's Conrad, onto our team. And a weekend was coming up where we had a few games. We had a tournament. And his parents, these are our neighbors right across the street, were going away for the weekend. So Darren and Debbie, that's their names, they came to me and Bridget, and they said, hey, would you mind watching Conrad for the weekend? Can he stay with you guys? We're like, sure, no problem. Our house is full of boys all the time. We had six boys for dinner. Had to go out, run out to Lenardi's last night and buy another steak so I could cook it for these boys, these growing boys. But when Conrad stayed with us, that means we had the soccer games. That means we had meals together. When we do a family meal in our house, we do high-low. We go around and everybody shares their high or their low from the day or the weekend. We listen to one another. We ask questions. And hey, don't get me wrong, three boys, it could be messy and crazy and it's not like perfect or anything like that, but it is something that we do. So Conrad was a part of that. And then we get to the point where we're putting our boys down for bed, which we do now. I got three teenagers, so Bridget and I, half the time, we're asleep before they are now. It's pretty weird. Times have changed. But back then, every night we would go in, we would tell our boys that we loved them, we would pray over them, and Conrad was there. So guess what? He got treated like a Scott boy. That means when we cleaned up from dinner, and it's funny, he went down and started watching TV while my kids were like cleaning up for dinner. And I walked down and go, Conrad, what are you doing, brother? You better grab a broom. You're staying here. You're like one of us. And so we got up there and started doing that and then putting him to bed. I walked up to him and I go, hey, man, we pray at night. And I tell my boys I love them and I just want you to know I love you too. And now I'm going to pray over you. And he just looked at me. He just goes, okay. And I did. We prayed over him. No big deal. It's kind of what we do. And he's in our home, so that's what you get. So fast forward a couple days later, his parents get home Sunday night. He goes back, stays there. Debbie walks over Monday morning, and she says to Bridget and I, she goes, I got to tell you what Conrad said last night. So he said, what was it? He said, Mom, don't take this the wrong way. But he said, if God forbid something were ever going to happen to you and to Dad, could you please make sure that I get adopted by the Scots? And so we thought that was so cute. It kind of melted our heart. But let me ask you this question. Why would Conrad say something like that? The answer is super simple. He knows that he knows that he knows that we're for him. He just knows. Why? Because we showed it. We served him. We loved him. We met his practical needs and his emotional needs and his spiritual needs. We listened to him. And so he knows that we're for him. We believe that this movement, the For the Valley movement, which is based on the belief that being for others, like God is for us, is something that God is going to use to reach many, many people for Christ. And so as a church, we just decided a few years ago, we're just going to be for people. We're going to be for the people of our valley. And you know, we've heard it, you say it many, many times. That means we're going to be for our schools. That means teachers, students, administrators, parents, families. That means we're going to be for our first responders. That means fire department, police officers, frontline healthcare workers. We're going to be for our local businesses working through the Chamber of Commerce. We're going to be for our local government. That means the mayor. And I'm talking meetings with the mayor and meetings with the vice mayor and meetings with the town council and say, hey, we're going to start showing up at everything. We're going to start inviting you to everything that we do. And so on and so forth. Why? Why would we do this? Why would we make this decision? Why would we start this outward-focused movement as a church? Well, we were reminded of it last week when Jeff Henderson was here. It's really, really good news. It's good news that makes us go, wow, when you think of this right here, that God, Almighty God, is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. So we want to carry this movement out because it's not just about you. It's also about us. God is for us. And he's not just for us. God is for the valley that we live in. And the valley, this is 100,000 people. Alamo, Danville, San Ramon, not just for the valley, he's also for the world. We're going to hear all about God's love for the world and what he's doing in and through us in week 5 of this. Some of you are going like, I don't just want to talk about the valley. I want to talk about the world. Come back for week 5 because you're going to absolutely love this. The bottom line is God is for us. God is for the valley. God is for the world. So then Jeff Henderson, who founded the FOR movement of hundreds of churches around the country and world several years ago, came here last week as a guest speaker, and he reminded us, hey, this movement is based on the most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3 at verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but receive eternal life. Don't miss this. God is so for us, God is so for the world, that he loved and he gave his Son. And what we have to do is just believe and receive that God has done for that. So that's the message that we're carrying out. And that's a wow message. Remember how last week Jeff Henderson says there's people who think like, wow. And then there's people who think, how? Like, wow, that's really cool. And then there's a lot of people who think, well, how are you going to do that? Let's just take a quick survey. How many of you are wow people? I'm a wow person. How many of you are wow people? Raise your hand nice. Be proud. Now, okay, great. How many of you people are how people? Like, how are we going to do this? Honestly, this message is mostly for the how people. Because last week was mostly a wow message. This is a how message. So let me just give you an idea of how we're going to do this. Here's some framework that you're going to hear for the rest of today. Here's the framework. Next slide. Nope. The how, the team, that. Oh, I'm ahead. You're right. Okay. Biblical framework. They're right. I'm wrong. So first, the biblical framework for how we're going to do this, because this is not our idea to do this. This is God's idea. It's very, very clear in Scripture, and it comes from places like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And don't miss this. This is where we come in. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us a ministry of telling people that God is for them. That God was reconciling the world, that's them, to himself in Christ. Here's more good news. Not counting people's sins against them. Someone should just say amen to that. This is incredibly good news. And here, again, is where we come in. Look at this next part. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. And what a statement this is. We are, that's us, we are, therefore, Christ's, what's the word? Ambassadors. That's who we are. We are Christ's ambassadors. Let me give you a simple working definition of ambassador that you're never going to forget. Here it is. Here's what an ambassador does. Everywhere you go, everything you do, represent the king. That's what an ambassador does. You've heard of ambassadors, United Nations ambassadors. Do you know what they literally do when you're an ambassador from a foreign country? It's real simple. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you represent the king. That's the job of an ambassador. That's who Jesus tells us through the Apostle Paul that we are. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And he explains it even further, as though God were making his appeal to the world through us. This is an incredible assignment. This is an incredible invitation, opportunity. It's part of our identity as a church. We are Christ's ambassadors. So let's think through this. How do we function that as a part of the For the Valley movement? We realize we need at least three factors right here. We need a team. So we have a team here on staff, and then you're a part of the team too because you're all volunteers, and we want everybody to be and feel a part of this. So in a minute, you're literally gonna meet the team of people from our staff here, the leadership team for the For the Valley, and hear about this, these next two factors, the strategy and the structure of how we're going about reaching people for Christ in and through this For the Valley movement. So without further ado, let's meet the team. Team, come on up here. Put a round of applause. All right, so this is our amazing For the Valley team. I'm gonna swing down here and start with the leader of our For the Valley team. This is Carol Mascali. She's also our chief of staff here. She also leads our HR, among other things. She's a culture catalyst for us. And so Carol, just so we can hear your voice, because you're the leader of the team, tell us why you're such a good fit and why you have a heart for the Valley.
Okay, thanks, Tyler. I'm so excited for today, so excited for you guys to hear the heart for our entire team, for our Valley and for the people. My husband John and I raised our daughters here in the Valley, and he and I actually met over 30 years ago while serving in our community. And when we started to build the foundation of our marriage and our family, we both made a commitment to spend more time serving our community than we do working for our jobs. And so then when I came to CPC over 6 years ago, it was the perfect fit. And I'm not saying that because my boss is standing right next to me. I'm saying it because I got here and CPC not only talks about caring for people, but all of you actually go out and care for people. So I'm thrilled that today has come that you get to hear from this team.
What about just some of the ways that you volunteered in the past? Just share that.
Yes.
You have, it's a long list. I want you to hear some of these.
Oh, thanks, Tyler. John and I have had incredible experiences. Each one have just enriched us more and more. So we've served on PTAs of every school that our kids have been to, Ed Funds. We've been homeowners board, on the Mustang soccer board, volleyball coaches, Mustang soccer coaches. We've served through the town of Danville, raising money for the new Vets Hall, and as an art and rec commissioner and Girl Scout leader.
That's just part of the list, by the way. That's incredible. So all those are reasons why you are a perfect fit to lead this team. So how about a round of applause for our leader, Carol Mascali? And right next to her is Corey Hunsberger. You're going to hear from him in just a little bit. He is our digital director. He used to work at Disney. This guy knows how to tell a story. He's also the mastermind behind all of the videos that you see that our church produces where you're like, man, that was powerful. That's Corey. He makes all those. You're going to hear from him in just a minute. Next to Corey is Deanna Dickerson. She's our director of Serve. She leads our local and global missions. Yeah, you got a lot of fans in here, Deanna. Quietly, you may not know this, Deanna has been on our staff for 18 years. So we're very, very happy to have her. Next to her is Stephanie Stagel. She's our CPC Kids Director. Stephanie is also the visioneer behind our 4 family retreat. We had about almost 350 of you who went up to Mount Hermon just a few weeks ago and had a family retreat. That was her idea, her execution, her team. She was awesome. She's a great innovator. And one like she, if there was an all-star team for brainstormers, she would be on it. Finally, and then I'll swing down here. This is Emily Hill. She is our creative director. And here's what's so cool. Yeah, we can clap for Emily. Here's what's so amazing about Emily. Everything that you see on our campus or online or in messages that we think, man, that's branded so well. It looks professional. It looks like better than you see out in the marketplace. The apparel. This is, Emily is the wizard behind the curtain of all of that. She's also the general manager functionally of our four store. All this gear, all this swag, all this stuff. She designs all of it. So how about a round of applause for Emily Hill? Is ready? All right, so now I'm gonna invite our team to sit down and you're gonna hear from a few of them as we talk about the strategy and the structure of this For the Valley movement, and most importantly, how you have a part in it. And I promise you, when you leave today, you're gonna have two things that are cemented in your mind. You're gonna know how you can play a part in this movement if you aren't already. And number two, you're gonna be sitting here going like, I love my church. I love my church that we do this. So first person you're gonna hear from after me is Corey Hunsberger. Come on up. There we go.
Thank you, Tyler. Yeah, as Tyler said, I'm the digital director here. I tell stories. So you guys wanna hear a couple stories? Yeah, all right. I'm gonna give you a little bit of background. I don't know about you, but when Tyler first told us about For the Valley, I was like, what is For the Valley? I don't understand it, it's too big. Anybody else feel that? Like, I just didn't quite get it. So I did what all good communications person do, I Googled it. I Googled For the Valley, and guess what I found? Another church was doing For the Valley. I was like, kind of happy a little bit, because it's like, oh great, an example, kind of what it is. But I was also, you know, competitive, like, wait a minute, another church, what are we gonna do? In fact, not only were they doing For the Valley, they were doing it well. They had the hashtags, hashtag For the Valley, they were doing videos For the Valley, they're out there serving their community, you know, like with the t-shirts and everything. And I was like, wow, there's no way they have the URL. And yeah, forthevalley.com, they had the URL as well. So we had to start on our own of figuring it out. So we put our head down, and a year later, we worked really, really hard to launch what For the Valley is. So a year later, I had a chance to meet with the pastors, and I did a presentation, and I wanted to check in on this little church, because that's how I knew them, was For the Valley. So I went to forthevalley.com, and this is what I found. Internal error, server connection terminated. Uh-oh, someone's in trouble, because I know being in communications, you do not want your website down. So I went to their direct church website, and this is what I found. It changed. In fact, I was like, oh, that's strange. So I looked everywhere on their website, not one mention of For the Valley. It was gone. I went to their social media page. It was all gone. They used to have pictures and the same thing we were doing, videos and all, it was now gone. And I wondered, that's odd. I wonder how that, I wonder if, and right there on Facebook, you can search, and I searched new pastor, and sure enough, hello, welcome new pastor, Pastor Dave. Yeah, new pastor came, new leadership came, new vision came, and For the Valley was terminated. I don't know about you, but that bothered me a little bit. Because the only way I knew who this church was through the valley. The only way, like, the community kind of, like, I would guess the only way the community would know about this church is through the valley. And now you're telling me the connection's terminated? And that really upset me. And I was like, Lord, that cannot happen to us. Show me in your word, Lord. Show me a little more about what For the Valley is. And he did. He showed me Matthew 25.
This is a little long, so I'm going to read fast. So I'm also in communication, so I talk fast. So I apologize now. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him. This is your future, by the way. This is what's going to be happening before him. And he will sort the people out as much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. pause for 1 second. Sheep and goats. In scripture, it's totally different than how we look at it here in society. Goats are good, right? You want to be a goat? Michael Jordan, goat. You know, Tom Brady, goat. You know, Tiger Woods, goat. LeBron James? Yeah, right, exactly. Michael Jordan, goat. Anyway, the goats are good in our society. Being a sheep in our society is bad because you're a follower. But in scripture, it's different. Goats are bad, sheep are good. All right, here we go. Then the king will say to those on his right, who's on his right? It's the sheep. Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Then these sheep, us, this is what we're going to say. We're the sheep, are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison come to see you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Next slide. Then he'll turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, get out, you worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because when I was hungry and you gave me no meal, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was homeless and you gave me no bed, I was shivering and you gave me no clothes, sick and in prison and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help? Now here's quick pause. They both said the same thing. They both asked the same question. The sheep asked the same question and the goats asked the same question. But the reasoning was different. The sheep asked, when did we ever see you? We're already out doing it and we never saw you. And the goats are only asking it because they never did that. They never took care of their community. But they would have if they saw Jesus out there. Interesting. And he'll answer them, I'll tell you the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. Then those goats will be herded into their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Man, this verse woke me up. It woke me up. I've never seen this before, and I'll be honest with you, I never was a Matthew 25 guy. I grew up with a charismatic background, so I was a Matthew 7 guy. This is what Matthew 7 says. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That was me. I grew up in a charismatic background. That's what I valued. That's all I valued. I wanted what was in scripture, the miraculous signs and wonders, the miracles, you know what I mean? All the awesome, exciting things. So I chased after that. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that's where I put all my value. I had zero value in Matthew 25. Giving someone a cup of water to drink. I'm not gonna visit people in the hospital. Hospitals creep me out, honestly, and they have a smell. So I'm just not gonna do it. You don't want me to cook for you. My cooking's terrible. I'm doing you a favor if I don't invite you over and cook a meal for you. And you're shivering and you're cold? Bring a jacket next time. You know what I mean? I mean, learn your lesson. This is a good lesson. It's a tough lesson. Lord showed me. He showed me my ways. Here's what he showed me. Corey, you being a Matthew 7 guy, putting all your value in that and chasing after that, I don't know you. But if you're willing to do something for someone who's overlooked and ignored, you're willing to go feed someone, give them a cup of water, board up their windows, clean their yard, I know you. Because what you did for them, you did it for me. I'm My first experience here at CPC was Surf Day. That was my first experience at CPC. Blew me away that you guys actually closed church for like 2 days. It was a Saturday and a Sunday. This is the first time I ever experienced it. And it warmed my soul. And you're going to have an opportunity to be able to sign up for Serve Day coming up, because we're doing it October 9th and 10th. Sign up so you can do it right after service. But I'm telling you, if you haven't done Serve Day, it's an incredible experience. And I have to say this to you, CPC. You are a Matthew 25 church. You're doing the work. In the middle of a lockdown, in the middle of a global pandemic, you're doing it. You're doing Matthew 25. Take a look.
There's a fire inside, you can feel it burning. It's a neon light glowing like a furnace. And the night is long, but the world keeps turning. You gotta know it, it's not the end. Every new sunrise is one step closer.
You. Come on, Matthew 25 Church, rocking it. So proud of CPC, so grateful. Right now we are thriving and we are moving in the right direction. My biggest concern, though, was this. We can't let this happen. Not after everything we've done. Not after how we put ourselves out there to the community. And now they're calling us. Now they trust us. Now they rely on us. We can't let this happen. So where do we go from here? I'm about to finish up, but I would not be a Disney guy without sharing a Disney story. Is that okay? I'm going to share a quick little Disney story. Yeah. My wife and I both worked at Disney, by the way, and we love Disney. So if you don't know anything about it, who's never heard of Disney before? Yeah, kidding. All right, let's go to December 21st, 1937. How many people have been there? We're there at the premiere. You know what? Okay, nobody. All right. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. This was an amazing night, very, very exciting night, because Walt was broke. Yeah, he was absolutely broke, but he had an idea. He thought, I wonder, what if I made it a cartoon, an animated film, 1 hour and 30 minutes long as the main feature? That has never been done before in the history of the world. Cartoons back then were only a minute, maybe 2 minutes long before the main feature. So Walt had to borrow $80,000. No one would back him, no banks, no nothing. And he had to borrow $80,000. He had to hire 750, you know, animators. He took 3 years to make it, and the final cost was $1.4 million. He was in serious financial trouble. This was a big night, though. Half the crowd there, record-breaking crowd, was there to see him succeed, especially the guy who borrowed $80,000. He was hoping it would succeed. The other half was there to see him fail because they didn't believe. Well, we all know that movie was huge, broke all records, became the highest-grossing film of all time, $8.5 million, and it's what Walt used to continue to build his company, the Walt Disney Company. It saved the company. Who's been here? Anybody driving by in Burbank, California, you've seen this building, Team Disney building? This is on the Disney lot. Yeah, this is what Walt used the funds for, to build this studio lot. And my wife and I both got a chance to work at Disney. We'd have lunch here at Legends Plaza. By the way, quick little note on my wife. She was Employee of the Month at the Walt Disney Company. She beat out 600,000 employees worldwide. So I gotta brag. I don't know. She married me. I don't know why. But anyway, she worked in this building. This is Team Disney building. And as you could see, the the architects wanted to honor the movie that saved the company. So for the pillars, they put the seven dwarfs at the pillars, holding up the company, holding up the structure so that it won't fall down. And as the For the Valley team and I were talking and thinking, we were trying to build up strategy and structure, I came back to this, my history at Disney, and I thought to myself, I wonder, are there seven pillars that hold up a community? And if we focused on those pillars, our community will continue to stay strong and we'll continue to thrive. And I'm happy to announce, we found out what those pillars are. Deanna's gonna tell you all about them.
Great. It's so fun to be here with you guys and share a little bit more of this vision. But even before I go into this, you have to remember the picture that is being painted of the valley and of the world outside these doors is the picture that Jesus has already paid for us. He came, he gave, he loved, he served. And we get to now emulate that lifestyle in everything that we do. So I'm really excited because Corey has paved the way in sharing the heart behind the Four Movement. And what I'd love to share with you today is really the strategy and the structure behind the movement that allows us to continue in something that's already great, that's continuing to gain legs and keep moving. So we have, as a team, identified seven pillars, and I'd love to share with you all of those right now. Our very first one is the pillar of family. And family in a community is super important. We look at family, it can be defined in all kinds of ways. We see single families, new families, blended families, foster families, grandparents, and everything in between. And when a community is made up of those families and they're working together, they're no longer just multi-generational, but they're intergenerational. And that makes a community strong and it makes it thrive. The next pillar is business. And this one's super simple, right? When we go downtown and we shop and we buy food, we're helping boom the economy of our small business here locally. And that's another way to help a community thrive. The third one is education, and so many of you have raised children here in this valley, or you are raising children. You know how important education is to us. In fact, people have moved to this district for the schools. So we know that education is a strong pillar, and when that thrives, the community thrives. The next one is government. We want to feel a sense of order and process with our government. And when that is in place, it also causes the community to thrive. The next one is first responders. This one, I don't know about you, but when you have an earthquake or fires or you pick up the phone in a very tragic moment to call 911, you want a sense of safety and calm on the other side of the line that's going to come and help you, going to bring things to order for you in that area. So strong first responders in our community also builds out an incredibly strong, bigger town and community. The next one is faith and charity. And I love this one because, not just because of what I get to do here at the church, but we do get to partner with people who are doing great things out in the community, whether they're faith-based or non-faith-based. And Serve Day is a prime example of this. We intentionally go out and we choose people who are making it happen in the community, whether they know Jesus or not. Because again, we're for others because Jesus was for us, and it's so fun to rub shoulders with all of those people. The last one is arts and entertainment, and quite frankly, this just brings a lot of fun to the community. It celebrates creativity with dance, theater, all of those things. And so when that's happening in community, the community also thrives. And here's what I love about this. If each of these pillars are really thriving in a community, they will trickle over into other neighboring communities and to other areas beyond Danville, San Ramon, and Danville, or Alamo. The next thing, you have to think about it, though. In order to build this out, we need to take a pause. How do we continue to invite people into this structure, but more importantly, into the movement? And Tyler's already paved that for us. He brought up that incredible passage in 2 Corinthians 5 where Christ is calling us to be his ambassadors. What a gift to represent the King. Again, it's so simple. Everywhere we go, in everything we do, we represent the King. Everywhere we go and everything we do, we represent the King. That is what it means to be an ambassador and to represent Christ, not only here in this valley, but around the bay and the world. Now, in order to continue building this out, we've added a little bit more structure. So all of those how people in the room, you're gonna love this. The next level is staff ambassadors. These are people on our staff that have a natural beat and passion in these areas. And I'll just quickly highlight Corey, of course, in his Disney world, he loves the arts. So that's a natural fit for him, as well as maybe some others. But another one I'd love to highlight is Jeff Latondres in our first responders. He used to be the fire chief in Fremont before he came and worked for us. He has an amazing understanding of what it's like to be a first responder. So we love this level of staff being involved. But the next two really involve you. And the next one is lead ambassadors. And these are people, and by the way, just so you know, these are faces of people who are really making it happen in the community, but this is a sampling, all right? These are sample situations to show you. And I'd love to highlight a couple of those as well. Janet Wilford, she's a teacher at San Ramon Valley High School. She's incredible. She has this amazing touch point to the district at large. And she's always coming to us and saying, hey, have you thought about this? Did you see that the school needs that? Can we host baccalaureate at CPC? Can we do this? And during the pandemic, you guys saw that incredible video. And it was so fun for me to go watch that again. Because sometimes you forget what we've been up to as a church. And she said, hey, here's an idea for you, and we ran with it. She gave us the names of all the teachers in the school district, and as a result, you gave us your money through generosity. And by the way, this next photo hopefully will make you laugh, but it's the longest receipt I've ever seen in my entire life. I went and purchased $5 gift cards for all the teachers in our school district, and you helped write thank you cards to them just to validate who they are and what they were doing in the midst of an awful season. A hard season. And so we thank you for that. That's just one example. The other example, too, in the lead ambassador role that you saw, Chief Shields is someone we can go to on a regular. He happens to come to CPC as well. But the cool thing is to think about these lead ambassadors, they might not even know Jesus, but we want to rub shoulders with them, too. And Chief Shields, he's given us some great ideas. Sometimes when we've had fire season, my natural inclination is to, hey, let's do a gift card drive, bring them in, serve people who lost everything. And that is a great idea. But being in touch with some lead ambassadors who, by the way, are the people in our community that they're going to, they're asking all the questions to, what else can we be doing that's outside the box that maybe we're not thinking about? Maybe it's a matter of taking meals to families where they're missing their mom or dad or spouse because they're away fighting fires. Or maybe it's showing up at the Alameda County Fairgrounds where all the firefighters are, is a staging area, and we show up with a food truck. Those are the kind of things we want to be more in tune to and be aware of and step in and support. And I love that. The next and last one is field ambassadors. And on this one, you should all, we all pray that you see yourself as an ambassador, because if you follow Jesus, you are. Tyler already mentioned that. We are ambassadors of Christ. And then, as we step into that as a community, I want to share with you some simple examples of how we've seen that done in the field ambassador level. This is so simple. It's the moms sitting at the soccer games. It, by the way, we also had the For the Valley breakfast. You guys, some of you guys were here. Spanga, they took a moment to make a post, and they care deeply about being for the community and providing happiness and health. Another great example is Erica and Brady Hobby. They're real estate agents here in our community, and they take that platform that they have to be for people and to show up to new families in the community and really be there for them. And many of you maybe have that association or that platform that you can also use. Another quick example is Jen French. Her and her friends started an organization here locally called HOW, Helping One Woman. And this is just validating women who are starting up and getting things going. The truth is that all of us have a place in this as Christ followers. And you can be sitting at the Starbucks making eye contact with the barista. You can be sitting next to the person at the soccer game and make conversation. You're going to hear a little bit more about how to be that strong vision carrier, because the message is powerful and it's strong. Now, I know some of you might be sitting here feeling a little overwhelmed. What is all this? What is my place in it? And just pray about it. We ask you to pray to join us in this movement, because the picture that we represent, again, like I said in the beginning, the picture that we represent to the valley is the picture that Jesus has already paved the way for us. All we have to do is emulate that. And when we do, it goes back to what Corey shared in Matthew 25. We will not be able to help ourselves but see the overlooked, see the ignored. Do you hear me on this? If you forget everything I said, that's what you got to remember. If we as a church step into this fully, we will not be able to help ourselves as a church but to see, and not only see with our physical eyes but our spiritual eyes, the overlooked and ignored. And the best part is that Jesus looks at that and he says, you did it for me. And that's powerful. Thank you so much. Stephanie, come and share with us.
Thank you, Deanna. Can we give it up for our four team? I love this team. I love this church. And I wanted to jump in with you guys and share with you a quick story. 2.5 years ago, when the Four Movement started, an amazing business came to us, Peasant and the Pear, and they asked us, how can we get involved? How can we partner with you? How can we be for the Valley? How can we be part of this movement? And so we went back and forth with them for a while, and we landed on this. The For the Valley Burger. Give it up. I love this because we partnered together and we just thought, what is one easy, simple way that we could partner with them? And so after a few months that this burger had been at Peasant and the Pear, we sent a few staff members undercover and they went there and they ordered the burger and they sat down and they asked the waitress and they said, hey, can you tell us about this amazing burger? We've heard it's amazing. We heard it's tasty. But could you tell us more about what For the Valley is? And out of the kindness of this waitress's heart, she said, well, my boss goes to, you know, this church, CPC, and he loves the church, the For the Valley, they love people. And we were like, wow, those are really kind words. But what we found with that story, alongside many others, was that our messaging matters. And so our old messaging, which is this, For far too long, the church has been known for what it's against. We want to be known for what we are for. We found that this messaging was super lengthy and long, and honestly difficult for you, as well as those in the community, to be vision carriers. It wasn't going to work for us. And so a few months ago, intentionally, you may not have even noticed, we changed our messaging to this. Inside the church, we started saying this: being for others like God is for us can change the world. And outside of the church, we started saying this: being for others can change the world. And with this messaging, our hope is that it would be so simple for you as vision carriers to talk about the four movement. Because when we have messaging that's super long and super lengthy, it's not easy to carry that vision. It's not easy for our field ambassadors, like all of you in this room, to be able to do that. And so when we talk about messaging, we know one of the best ways to talk about messaging is our merch. And so we met Emily. This is our creative director. We met her a little while ago, and she's in charge of the Four store. Can we give it up for her? And the reason why we have this swag is not to take your money, to spend it elsewhere. The reason for this swag is our goal for all the for the Valley gear is for it to be a conversation starter, for you to be able to share our messaging about what the Four movement is about, and to get our vision and our message out there. And so I want to take a quick poll right before I end. Who here in this room has been asked what For the Valley means? Right? A majority of us. Some of you might not be raising your hand, but I've been asked probably about 8 to 10 times what For the Valley means. And so our goal is that when you go into a grocery store and you're wearing the swag, that when someone says to you, "I love your sweatshirt, what does For the Valley mean?" you can simply say, "Oh, that's my church. I love CPC. And being For the Valley means being for others can change the world." That's what we believe. And so we want to invite you into that process and remind you that the reason why we have this swag and the reason why we pass out hundreds and thousands of black t-shirts, can I get a laugh? I have about 10 of them, is so that you can have those conversations organically in the grocery stores, on the football fields. And so that's why we have our swag. So let's give it up for the For the Valley movement.
All right, let's acknowledge something. When you hear that, and you hear strategy and structure, and you meet our team, every time, when you hear any message at all, you're probably thinking, what is mine to do with that? Like, what is an action step? Like, what do you want me to do with this message? And so that's what we're gonna spend the last 2 minutes on. But just so you're at rapt attention, let's everybody stand up, because we're about to close in prayer. Just get ready. And let me just walk you through one slide that answers the question, like, what are my action steps to do with this message? Here's the first thing you can do to be a part of this movement. Sign up for Serve Day. It's on October 9th and 10th. We already have hundreds of people. We're on our way to 2,000 volunteers to serve in our community, in the region, around the Bay Area on that day. It's kind of the coolest thing that we do. Many of you have been a part of Serve Day in the last few years. And some of you maybe have not. And so if you haven't and you want more information on Serve Day, there is a booth right there on the patio. You can go online if you're watching from home, and you can sign up for Serve Day. It takes about 2 minutes to sign up you and your family. Here's the second thing you can do, action step. Be an ambassador. And now we all know that being ambassador simply means everywhere you go, everything you do, represent the King. And one of the ways that we can do that is take this swag. By the way, swag, you know what that stands for? Something we all get. And something we all get is, number one, that For the Valley t-shirt, that black one. If you don't have one, pick one up in your size or the size of your kids out there on the patio. That's what everybody gets. Here's another thing that you all get, and that is those little car decals. They're not a sticker that's going to take paint off your car. They're a really good, really nice decal that just goes on or comes off. Many of you already have them on your car, and it's a great conversation starter for people. Some of you, when you pulled into this service today, did not have that on your car, but now I can encourage you, because we're here to serve, that all of you, even if you didn't have a sticker coming in, now have a sticker on your car. Again, we're just here to serve you. Of course, we didn't put it actually on your car. We put it in the windshield right here, so you can have it. So you can attach that to your car. You just put it on the back or you put it on the bumper sticker. It's a way to show, it's a mindset. I'm an ambassador. This is who God's called me to be. I'm one of his ambassadors. Like, God is making his appeal to the world through me. And so I'm going to show up for him. It could be on a PTA meeting. It could be on the soccer field. It could be with your business. It could be for a nonprofit. So be an ambassador. Use the swag as a conversation starter. And here's the third thing. This is super important. Pray for the valley. God has called us to love and to serve this 100,000, 150,000 people in our valley and beyond. But let's not step over the valley. Let's start with them. It's a big chunk of people. And so we must pray for them. And so we're going to pray for them, and I'm going to pray for all of you right now to close our service. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of this movement that is based in your love for us, in your service to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you modeled what this is like. You said, for even I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So help us, God. Help us to follow you as an ambassador out into our community, into our workspaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, on sports fields, in local businesses, and be for the people like you are for us. And God, we pray for those people. We pray for our schools. We pray for our first responders. We pray for our local government. We pray for our local business. We pray that you would be honored through them, that you would protect them, that they would be open to seeing and receiving love and grace and mercy and compassion from you, Lord. We pray ultimately that they would come to know you as Savior and Lord, and help us to serve them well. We thank you for your favor on this church that over almost 170 years ago, you put this church in the center of this valley, and we're still here to serve the people that you put around us. So help us to do that well in your honor and in your name. And everybody said in the name of Jesus, amen.